Morning.
I'll never stop depending on the Lord.
Amen.
Need Him every day, every hour, every moment of the day. Depending on Him now, and I desire your prayers as we look into the Word of God. Thank the Lord for that song. There is always opportunity for salvation. Regardless of what the message is on, what the songs we sing about, because it's all about God and a relationship with God. So I encourage anyone who doesn't know God, if you're here and God is dealing with your heart, run for your life more than ever before. It'll be the best decision that you have ever made in your life. And if you talk to anyone that has a growing relationship with God, they will express to you that it's the best thing that they ever done. And I encourage you to do that this morning. I desire your prayers. I have a little thought. I believe it's from the Lord this morning. And I don't know that I've ever had a message that's titled this. But I desire your prayers and a desire that God would have the thoughts that He was given to be brought forth in the way that He would have them. Outside in. Let me do this. Or inside out. Do those mean the same thing? They're a little bit different, aren't they? Does it matter? It does? It matters, huh? I want you to know this morning that this is vitally important in terms of spiritual things. And by the help of the Lord, we're going to look at two aspects of them and study two ways about this outside in versus inside out. We'll talk about some natural tendencies, but we're going to look at some spiritual examples. But I'd like to begin with the verse of Scripture, and then we'll go through things that we do naturally. I'd like us to turn to 1 Samuel. The 16th chapter and the 17th verse. 1 Samuel 16 and 7. The focus will be on the second half of this verse.
And Saul said unto his servants.
16 and 7.
And 7. But the Lord said unto Samuel.
But the Lord said unto Samuel,
look not on his countenance.
Look not on his countenance.
The height of his stature.
Or on the height of his stature.
Because I have refused him.
Because I have refused
for
him.
The Lord seeth not as man
for seeth. The Lord seeth not as man seeth.
For man looketh on the outward appearance.
For man, he looketh on the outward appearance. But the Lord looketh on the heart. We're going to get to this verse. But the essence here is it lets us know that there's a different way that human beings look at things as it relates to how God looks at things. So I'm going to break down some things for us this morning that we can relate to in a natural sense that all of us do all the time. You know, one of the things that all of us do, whether we realize it or not, is that we prejudge. We prejudge people, and sometimes we prejudge circumstances and situations. Right? There's different ways that we may do it. Maybe we can look at somebody and how they're dressed, and we can make a judgment on them. And if you allow me to interchange these words, do you know I'm prejudge means prejudice? All right. So you can make an assessment on somebody just on how they look. You know, maybe they have some holes in their clothes or maybe there's holes in their shoes and we prejudge. Or you see somebody that's dressed to the nines. The suit is all tailor-made and everything is all lined up in nice shoes. And you can look at them and you'll make a decision about them. Yeah, we do it with the possessions that people have. What do you think when somebody drives by and they're driving? I mean, I don't know. We do this. Maybe their car is falling apart and the fender's hanging off and they got ropes tied up. You make an assessment on them now. And then somebody drives by in a brand new sleek Mercedes or a Range Rover or something. And we make assessments. That's just what we do. That's human nature, whether we realize it or not. Sometimes we have gender biases. We do. It's just the truth. You know, sometimes, you know, we think about it's in the world that we live in today. It seemed like that there's some professions that we would maybe associate with a certain gender that now is not that way. And we can maybe have a bias to think that, you know, if you went to I'm just going to speak the truth this morning. All right. If you went to the mechanic and it was a woman, would you have some doubts? Can a woman know just about as much about vehicles as a man can? Absolutely. But you could have a prejudice about that, couldn't you? That's natural. That's our natural tendencies. Sometimes we have race biases. That's the truth. May the Lord help us. We need the Lord to help us. You know, we have, and that's what it all boils down to. We need God's help. Because without Him, those are things that we have. All right? And if we're not careful, then we'll allow those things to affect us. I'm going to speak to one more thing. You know, you have a prejudice about yourself. We're going to touch on that a little bit later. Surface. You know, when you think about it from the outside, all that is a surface look. You look in what we see on the surface. And then you consider what does God doesn't just look on the surface. He's more concerned about what's going on the inside. That's where He's looking. So if you allow me, the outside in, that's human nature. All right? But the inside out, that's God's nature. All right? That's His nature. He's looking on it from the inside to the outside where we see the outside and we can't see in. I'm going to give a life example. I cut my finger recently. It's been a little bit over a week. And it's almost healed. But, you know, for a period of a few days, on the outside, it looked the same. And I want us, we need to be careful with that two words. Appearance and seems. Yes. Be careful with those. All right? As it relates to words and actions, we got to be careful with the appearance and the seems. All right? So my finger from the outside for a few days, it looked like the same. It looked like nothing was going on. It was a cut on my finger. But I want you to know that, and I did a little research on this, that, you know, I mean, all of, I mean, before I say that, the one thing that happened was the bleeding stopped. The bleeding stopped, but from the outside, it looked the same. But do you know that as soon as I cut my finger, that the healing process started on the inside? As soon as I cut it, it started on the inside. And I'm not going to get all scientific on you this morning, but I want to relate several things that happened that was going on the inside that I couldn't see from the outside. All right? And so there's several things that took place. Okay? So it's a three-step process. All right? The first process was the stopping of the bleeding. There's things that go on. If you want to look it up, you can look it up. But there's things that happen in your body when you cut yourself that there's something that takes place where your body attempts to stop the bleeding. All right. And then the second step is that area may get inflamed a little bit. All right. And then the third process is it starts the rebuilding of the tissue. So as soon as I cut my finger, that healing process started from the inside and it worked its way out. Let me ask a question. What do you think would happen if the healing process was reversed? If I cut my finger and then it began to immediately heal on the outside. Huh? What do you think? How quickly do you think I would re-injure that finger? Right? Because I'm thinking, oh, it's fine now. Look, it looks fine. And I go and bang it on something, and next thing you know, it bursts right back open. That's what would happen. Re-injury. So again, on the surface, seemed like nothing was, it looked the same. But with my natural eyes, but the healing started on the inside. And you know what's going to happen eventually? Over time, it's going to fade away. I might have a little scar, but eventually, you know what? That scar is going to go away. And I mean, unless, you know, it depends on the severity. Sometimes surface ones, you try to find a scar maybe a month. A year later, where was it? It'll be gone. You won't even know about it. Oh, but what it lets us know is what's going on inside eventually is going to show forth outwardly. That work going on in the inside is going to surface on the outside. And it's going to be apparent. And you know what happens? That healing process, it happened in its own time. There was maybe certain things that I could do to try to facilitate the healing process. But the time that it's going to take is whatever time God has and allows for it before it's going to heal. And you know, some situations are worse than others. So I'd like us to think about this thought outside from the inside out in a spiritual way. I want to consider it in two ways. The first one is as it relates to our unsaved loved ones and the lost in general. You ever get discouraged? Does that enemy ever bring discouragement to you about those that you've been praying for? That he'd come and he'd say, see, you've been praying for them for all this time and look at them. Nothing's changed. That's not true.
Amen.
God is working. Amen. I want you not to be discouraged.
Amen.
I'm encouraging you this morning. Don't be discouraged and don't be distracted by what you don't see. Because all you can see is what's on the surface. You don't know what's going on the inside. So my encouragement to you this morning is to keep praying and looking to the Lord to know that God is working. So what we have to do in situations like that, when we think about the world in general, God, it's our responsibility to pray, isn't it? If we don't pray, who else is going to pray? So we have a responsibility to pray for our lost loved ones. We have a responsibility to pray for the world in general, for the lost in general. Help us to be found praying. And even if it seems like it's getting worse, we can be encouraged to know that God, some way, somehow, He is working.
Amen.
So we have to shift our attitude. We have to shift our mindset from the human side to God's way. All right? There's a verse in Hebrews that should be familiar to us in the 4th chapter and the 12th verse. It talks about the Word of God. And we recognize that the Word of God, in one place it says the Word was God. So we know that God's Word is God working through those that He spoke through. So it's like God speaking Himself. All right? So in Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 12th verse, what does it say?
For the Word of God is quick.
For the Word of God is quick.
And powerful.
And it's powerful.
And sharper than any two-edged
sword. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword.
Piercing
even to the dividing asunder
of soul and spirit.
Of soul and spirit.
Of the joints and marrow.
And of the joints and the marrow. And here's the part I want us to get to.
It's a discerner of the thoughts.
It's a discerner of the thoughts. And intents of the heart. Can you do that? Can you look at somebody? Sometimes we feel like we might be able to make a pretty good guess. You know, maybe somebody just, it's all over their face and their face is expressing something so much that maybe you can guess sometimes. But discerning the thoughts and the intents, we can't do that. But that's what God's Word does. So we can be encouraged to know that God knows what those that we've been praying for. God is taking note. He's following after them. And He knows what's going on in their hearts and what's going on in their minds. And He's aware of that. And you know what? In His love and in His mercy, those that have a tenderness toward God, what do you think He's going to do with that? He's taken note of that. Maybe they haven't taken the opportunity to break the chains that's holding them back. But God is a merciful God. God is a loving God. Sometimes we have to think back of our own selves and where we were. There was a tenderness there. And I would encourage anyone that's here this morning that doesn't have the relationship with God that He desires you to have, keep a tender heart toward Him. Just let Him work with you and keep a softness to Him. So that He can extend that love and mercy to you. But He knows what's going on. He's aware. He's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The Amplified says the Word of God speaks. That God speaks is alive and is full of power. It's powerful and it's judging the very thoughts and purposes of the heart. You ever heard somebody use this expression? God knows my heart. Be careful. Be careful when you say that because He really does know your heart. So if you're saying that, you better have a heart that's tender towards God because He knows your heart and he's the judge. He's the one that's extending love and mercy. So if you have that, keep that tenderness toward Him. You know that some healing, and if you think about it like this, who needs healing? Spiritual healing is a lost soul, right? All of us at one point in time, if we, when we didn't have the relationship with God that He desires, we were spiritually sick. Do all sicknesses have the same healing time frame? Think about that one. So when we don't know what's going on the inside, my encouragement to us is keep praying. Keep praying and know that God is working. You know, this example of my finger, you know, that it took, if it was more severe, if I had sliced through. I'm thank God that I didn't slice through my finger. You think I would have a scar now? No, I mean, it would, the healing process would take a lot longer, wouldn't it? Think about that. God is working. So the healing process, the spiritual healing, he's working on it. And he just wants us to keep praying. Keep praying and look to the Lord to know that so some spiritual conditions take longer than others if it's more severe. God is the one that's extending mercy and long suffering. He knows about us. In one place in Psalm, the 139th chapter and the second verse, it's just a reminder to us. It says that thou knowest my downsetting and my uprising. Not only that, so he's aware of every time we get up and every time we sit down. But it says also here that he understandeth my thought afar off. You know, sometimes we don't even understand our own afar off thoughts. Right? Something comes to our mind and we like, where did that come from? It happens to all of us, doesn't it? Oh, but it says God understands. So the encouragement to us is those that we've been praying for, keep praying. Because God knows what's going on and he's working a healing process within them from the inside out. And when they get to the place where that process is complete, if there's a willingness there, they still got to furnish a will like Brother Johnson talks about. There still has to be a surrender that a soul get when they submit and surrender themselves to God. That still has to take place. But what I'm saying is God is doing his part. So let's be encouraged to know God is doing his part. And if that soul has a desire that when he pricks that heart, when they submit and surrender, then they'll be able to make a break and run for their life more than ever before. All right. Thinking about this thought from the inside out, I want to talk about how it relates to each and every one of us individually in terms of our being prepared and equipped for God's service, our readiness for his service. Every child of God has a work. God has a work for everyone that calls themselves a child of God. So my question to you this morning is, do you feel like you're inadequate for the task that God has given you? And is it wrong to feel that way? Let me ask you this. You think Brother Henry and I just feel all charged up and ready to go all the time? Or do you think we have times where we go through where we feel like we don't have what we need? It happens to us. And you know what? There's a reason for that, because that helps us stay grounded and rooted and know that I'm dependent on God all the time. I need him every day and every hour, like the song said. I need to feel his power working in me and through me. I'm depending on him. So, yes, I do feel inadequate sometimes, but that's so I can rely on him. Yeah. You know what's important for me? To make sure my heart is in the right place. Yes, it's meant to us to keep our eyes and our focus on God. Yes, and again, to keep our heart in the right place. Let's go back to Samuel. We're going to read a few more verses there in the 16th chapter of Samuel. We already read the 7th verse. We'll read that again. And then we'll skip down and read verses 11 and 12. So this passage takes place when Samuel was looking for who was going to succeed Saul as king All right? So Samuel was having a conversation with Brother Jesse about his sons. All right? So he said, you got some sons. There's one of your sons going to be anointed king. They're going to replace Saul. He's gotten away from the direction that I desired him to go. And his replacement needs to be groomed now. All right. So let's go back to 1 Samuel, the 16th chapter. And again, the 7th verse.
But the Lord said unto Samuel.
The Lord said unto Samuel.
Look not on his countenance,
or on the height of his stature,
because I have refused him.
For the Lord seeth not as man seeth.
For man looketh on the outward appearance.
For man looketh on the outward appearance,
but the Lord looketh on the heart.
But the Lord looketh on the part. So skip down. Just to give you context, we'll pick up on the 11th verse. Jesse, Brother Jesse, was having all his sons kind of like a parade, if you allow me to use that word, parade before Samuel so he could see who was going to be the next king. Yeah. All right, skip on down to verse 11, please.
And Samuel said unto Jesse.
And Samuel said, so here he had passed through in the majority of his sons, and he asked him a question. Samuel said unto Jesse,
are here all thy children?
And he said,
there remaineth yet the youngest. And behold, he keepeth the sheep.
Oh, he keepeth the sheep.
And Samuel said unto Jesse,
Send and fetch him.
For we will not sit down till he come hither.
Before you pick up on that third. So think about here. Here, Jesse, Brother Jesse, he looking on the outside. Couldn't he? Was he not looking on the outside? He's saying, is that all your sons have? Well, oh yeah, I do have one more son. Oh, but he just keeps the sheep. He's the youngest. He's in charge of the sheep. Do you really want to see him? And he said, yes, I do. I need to see him. So he said, all right, bring him on. All right, please read verse 12.
And he sent and brought him in.
Says, now he was ruddy,
and with all of a beautiful countenance,
and goodly to look to.
And the Lord said, arise.
Anoint him.
For this is he.
All right. It sounds like if there's several things for us to pull out in here. The commentators want to note here that ruddy may have referred to his red hair. And if you grew up in the era when I grew up, there was times when if you had red hair that you were subject to teasing. So maybe there was a prejudice that Brother Jesse had about his own sons. That's not the one. Not him. See, if he had chosen, who know which one? He would have picked one of his other sons. Because he was looking from the outside. But God had something else in mind. He was looking inside on his heart. While he was there keeping the sheep, God was talking to him. God was working with him. He was working down in his heart. And he was preparing him for a special work that he had for him. Do you know at this time that David was a teenager? They said he was about, the commentators say he was about 12 to 15 years old. So think about this. I'll share one other thought. And then when he fought Goliath, he was still a teenager. Said around 13 to 19. So he knew, and one other thing. All right? When he was appointed king, he was 30 years old. Okay. Could he have got a little antsy? If his heart wasn't in the right place? God had a special work for him. But he had to wait on God's time. And in the meantime, he just had to endeavor to keep being faithful. When God may give us an advance notice, maybe he will, and maybe he won't. Because if you had told me 10 years ago, no. Now you skip back 20 years. No. Oh, no. But what place was I in? I was endeavoring to please the Lord. And I believe my heart was in the right place. I was doing, God, there was some preparation that took place. God was working on me in other ways, had me doing other things in his service, but he was looking at down the road. See, I just didn't know about it then to the extent. I may have had an inkling, but God's time. God's time. So for each and every one of, so the encouragement for all of us, know that God is working with us from the inside. So keep a heart pure. And once a scripture talks about, it says to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And if he does give you an advance, a little peek into the future to let you know, I got a special work for you down the road. We got to keep with the heart in mind that we could think, well, I don't think I'll be equipped for that. But he said in Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, what does it say? I can do all things through my own, through Christ. See, recognizing again, through Christ. So yes, Lord, I can look and see. I don't know, Lord. I could never see myself doing that. Well, that's because you're not having to see. It's about what God is seeing. God, and just continue to allow him to work with you. That's the encouragement. Be faithful. Be faithful and know that whatever task, whatever responsibility God has for you to do, he's going to give you what you need to enable to be able to do it. And he's going to prepare you for it. You know, in the time, just as God was preparing David, it started with the sheep, didn't it? He was just in charge of protecting some sheep. And he did a great job of it, didn't he? Did he face some circumstances? And they say he faced a lion and he faced a bear and he was faithful, wasn't he? He was faithful. He had a responsibility. So my encouragement to you this morning, whatever job God has you in your with you doing now in his service, be faithful with it. Be faithful in that. And if he sees fit to use you in other ways, keep your heart right and be willing. Because then he had him face Goliath. Was he dependent on his own strength? No. No. I'm sure all the naysayers, even his own family, his own brothers, didn't even encourage him and uplift him. Even they told him, what you doing? You just trying to see what's going on. Why are you even here? Yes. Knowing he was going to be the king. Yes. He was appointed. He was anointed. He wasn't appointed yet. He was anointed. Thank you, Brother Henry. He was anointed to be the king. But he waited on God's time. He allowed God to work on him from the inside to prepare him for what he would have. And just all these little things along the way, Goliath. And now he become the king. And now he's in charge of his those in his charge. It kind of changed, didn't it? It started with some sheep, and now he's over all these, I don't know how many millions of people. But God was with him. We heard about last Sunday about warming up to the task. God's timing is always right. It says he knows. One writer says about this, about men judge by the sight of the eyes, but God does not. The Lord looks on the heart. He knows it.
Yes.
He can tell how men look. He can tell what they are. And he looks on the heart and he sees the thoughts and the intents of it. Yes. And then that's what he can judge them by.
Amen.
You know, we can't, we don't have, we have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't try to take his place. Because we can't see to the degree that he can. We can't see all the way to the inside. All we see is what's on the surface. I made mention of earlier about prejudices that we have about our own self. You know, if we're not careful, the enemy can use those against us. You can't do that. You're going to fall flat on your face. You're going to make yourself look foolish. What would you rather do? You know what? If I got to stand up here and fumble over some words mispronounce something and say something wrong, if that's what God told me to do, then Lord, help me to be willing. Am I going to say every word right? Sometimes I may miss something up. Well, thank the Lord. He'll keep me humble. Amen. But you know what? We can't allow the enemy to use those things against us to hinder us from doing what God has, the work that God has for us to do. You know, maybe God put on our heart to reach out to somebody or talk to somebody. But how are they going to respond? What if they reject me? All right. Did they reject Jesus? And he died for them. But you know what? What feeling would be worse? To be rejected or having to deal with God dealing with you after the fact about something that you should have done that he asked you to do. Be faithful and continue to seek the Lord on a daily basis. Like us to look at one other scripture, 1 Chronicles, 28th chapter, and the 9th verse. David was given some instruction to his son, Solomon. This was some good instruction that was given. It's some good instruction. It was some good instruction for Solomon, and it would have behooved him to follow it. But it's some good instruction for us today.
And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou
the God of thy father,
and serve him with a perfect heart,
and with a willing mind.
For the Lord searcheth all hearts.
He understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts.
If thou seek him,
he will be found of thee.
But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off.
What we know about Brother Solomon, what happened to him was what we were talking about a little bit this morning in Sunday school. All the blessings and the victories and the things that God had bestowed upon him. He got caught up in all that. And he got the big head, as we were talking about this morning in Sunday school. And he forgot about God. So it's a warning for each and every one of us to keep our reliance on him, to continually seek him. As the verse says in here, serve him with a perfect heart. And the writer said this about, he said, a upright heart, for sincerity is our gospel for perfection.
Yes, Lord.
All right? So keep a sincere heart. Does that mean that you're going to do everything right? You might mess up. But if you have sincerity of heart, you acknowledge it, you fix it, and you keep on going. You don't wallow in it. You don't allow it to beat you down and knock you down and set you back. So pray. Our prayer, we can pray, Lord, keep my heart sincere. Keep my heart sincere. Keep me with a willingness. It says here, with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Lord, I'm willing. I'm willing. We're talking about this morning as well, talking a little bit about vessels. We're all vessels. You know, but what if you pulled that vessel out the cabinet and it cracked in half? I guess the vessel wasn't willing. can that happen to us? If God want to use us and we're not willing? So he said here, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Amen. What do you think would have happened to Brother Solomon if he had kept this instruction and applied it in his life? Would all the things that happened to him, would they have happened? And I don't know. The Bible, I don't believe it. It calls out specifically what happened to Solomon. That's in God's hands. But if you look at the evidence, it doesn't look good. Doesn't look good. So, Lord, help me to have a willing mind and heart. And it says here that if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. I say this often, and I'm sure I'll say it again. We can always know that if we are faithful to do our part, God is going to take care of his. We don't ever have to worry about God not doing what he said he would do. The word says he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he's a God that cannot lie. It's not even in his nature. It's not possible for him. So we can stand on his word and we can stand on his promises. And when we do our part, he'll do his. Because he let us know what the consequences are. He said, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But we have a choice. And he left the choice up to us. We all have a choice. He said, if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Where are we along the journey and the pathway of life? If you have not given your heart to God, I encourage you to remain tender towards him and his dealings, and don't turn your back on him. And when you have opportunity, when he comes and he deals with you, my encouragement to you is to respond and run for your life more than ever before. And to the saint of God that's an endeavoring to live for him, keep being faithful. Be encouraged to pray for the lost, pray for unsaved loved ones, and keep your heart pure and a willing mind for God's service. I pray these few words this morning have been an encouragement to you, and I desire your prayers that I would always be found in that place with a heart and a mind, a willing heart and mind toward God. I appreciate your time and your attention.